I think part of being a parent is mentoring through the process. And when he came to me and said he thought he wanted to go to University of Washington, I said, you know, Kel, there's some things that maybe you haven't thought about, and I want you to think about these things. And whether somebody viewed it as being my own agenda or not, I really could not be concerned with that, because I know in my heart and in my soul, my concern, my first and foremost concern is his happiness. And when he came to me and said he wanted to go to the University of Washington, I just thought there were some things that he hadn't thought about. I was not comfortable with, not the decision, but with the process. And if he'd have come back to me, you know, that week later, those 10 days later, and I told him, if you still want to go to the University of Washington, after we've thought about these things, we've talked about these things, I will sign the papers.
Did you have a problem with Rick Neuheisel?
No, not at all. I've known Rick for a number of years. We've played together with the San Diego Chargers. And this stuff about him, you know, coming in as a scab in 1987 or 1984, whenever it was, that is so untrue. You know, I do not hold grudges against anybody who has a job. And those guys who came in and played did their job and did it very well. As a matter of fact, they did it better than we did, because we didn't win a game for the rest of the year after we came back from that and they went undefeated. This was about, you know, my son being in a situation based on what I knew and what I had experienced, and helping him find a place that he's going to be comfortable and successful at.
You wanted to look at the racial makeup of these football staffs and athletic programs. Is that right?
That is correct. But I wanted him to take it in context. I said, if you look at a school and you come to me and say, okay, you've got four or five schools that you think are equal, and I said, well, you should also take a look at the racial makeup. You don't make a decision based on whether there's a person of color there, or else you're really limiting yourself to a few schools. But with everything being equal, take a look at the staff. If you tell me you want to coach, if you tell me that you want to go, when you finish playing, back into coach and maybe coach where you played, then I said, hey, take a look at these things. And that really favored well for the University of Miami. The offensive coordinator is a Miami alum. The defensive coordinator, who happens to be black, is a Miami alum. I said, that says a whole lot. But it's in the context of the whole thing. It's not just by itself. Because if that was the only criteria, he goes to Stanford, Michigan State, San Jose State, or New Mexico State.
Did you try to get him to go or consider one of these programs that had a black head coach?
Oh, I think if he had better grades, he would be headed to Stanford. He spent a summer at Stanford's football camp with Ty Willingham and just had a great time, and I thought it would be a great atmosphere for him. He spent two summers at the University of Tennessee's football camp, two previous summers, and one at the University of Georgia. And his last summer before his senior year, I said, that one's mine, and I think you should go to Stanford's camp. He had a good time. I really wanted him to consider Michigan State because I know the coaches there, I know the athletic director there, and I think it would have been a great mentoring environment for him. And he didn't want to go to Michigan State. I said, okay, fine, but I think you should go take a visit. And he did do that.
NFL Hall of Famer Kellen Winslow joining us on ESPN Radio. Reading some of the commentaries surrounding this decision that was made by you and your son, here we criticize the black male because he's not involved in families anymore. And here you're too involved in your son's decision. It's like you can't win.
Well, some people might look at it that way. And some people might view me as being a meddling father. But Dan, come on. You know, knowing what I know, having done what I've done and experienced what I've experienced, if I don't sit down with my son and share those things with him and have input on that, you know, just take away my right to be a father. Just take away all my parental rights. I'm not doing my job, and I take my job as a parent very seriously.
If race wasn't involved in this, would this be as controversial?
No, it's not. But unfortunately, in the year 2001, race is still a major issue in this country. You know, political decisions, drawing the districts on the voting lines, all that is race. There's race in everything. that we are involved in, what we see on television, who the actors are, who's going to go to the movies, who's not going to go to the movies, who's buying the rap CDs and all this stuff. It is a racial flavor in all that, political decisions. But in sports, for whatever reason, we want to think that it's this pure thing that is not bothered by the race question, and when really it is a reflection of the race question.
You went to the University of Missouri. Did you make that decision, or did your parents make that decision?
See, that's the difference between what I went through and what my son has gone through. I was not a very highly recruited athlete. My son was recruited by some of the best programs in the country. My parents had not gone to college. So they, and they told me this, they said, we can't help you because we have not been, we did not play sports. So we really can't help you with your decision. We can try to guide you in our life experiences about these people coming into our home, whether we trust them or not. But they couldn't help. And they told me that. So I was pretty much left alone to make that decision on where I was going to go.
But it makes
my son is in a totally different situation.
But it made you grow up. Were you afraid of not allowing your son to make, yes, it's the most important decision he's probably made up to this point, but was there part of you that said, you know what, that's part of life and part of growing up?
It is part of growing up, but it's, you know, you don't make your decision based on the fact that this coach took you to a nice restaurant. I mean, that's superficial. And if I don't take him through that process and talk about those things, then I'm not doing my job. He made the decision where to go. I just put things out in front of him of what it is he wanted to do, of what things he should think about. And to tell you the truth, Dan, when he came back from the University of Miami from his recruiting trip in early January, he said to me, I'm going to the University of Miami. I said, okay, but let's don't make that announcement yet. Let's wait until signing date. So Miami was his first choice. And when Butch left Washington, Butch Davis, who's now in Cleveland, when Butch left, Washington came back into the leader. So Miami was his original choice of where he wanted to go.
Are you concerned that people will label you a prejudiced person?
Well, I think the best way to categorize me, if you have to, is he's aware. And he doesn't mind speaking his mind about what he's aware about. I mean, it's like walking outside and just keeping your eyes closed to what's going on. I'm aware of what's going on. And when I see time and time again where people who are more than qualified to be head coaches on the collegiate and the professional level being passed over, if I don't say something, then I'm part of the problem. And I chose to use that platform of being inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame the way I wanted to do it, whether people liked it or not or respected it or not. And some people did not, and that's okay. But I slept good that night. I slept good those nights afterwards. If I had not done it, it would have bothered me as a missed opportunity.
You know what bothers me about college football? Here we talk about the NFL and its hiring practices
exactly.
For head coaches. College football is terrible at this. There are 5 head coaches in Division 1A. I mean, that's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing, and it's something that everybody claims is somebody else's problem, or everybody claims that it's another issue that, you know, will eventually be dealt with. But until you put it on the table, until you have parents asking that question when those coaches come to their homes about, okay, where are the role models for my children? Until those questions are asked, it's going to continue, and we will continue to see members of the African-American race or any other race who were qualified to be a head coach passed over because we're saying to them, it's okay to pass me over. So all I did was, unfortunately, you know, a private conversation between my son and I that has, you know, a public opinion or a public need to know is out there. I said, well, Kellen, we can talk about this and we can deal with that, but I've got to do this. I've got to tell you no when I feel as a parent you have not thought through this process properly.